names for your next year's prayer partner. And God cares about each one, each person that is here this evening. He wants to be praised and worshiped. So, but let's remember what a prayer partner is. First, it's for the purpose of praying for each other. Doing it together is nice, but the main purpose is to pray and accept each other's differences and limitations. Sharing can be real encouraging. If you do not have much time for extra things, maybe you can write a note or ask your partner if they have a special need of prayer, and you can do that through a call, telephone call, or after church. But see your partner as God's purpose for you to touch her life this year. Take time to ask whether there are special needs. And we have an almighty God who loves to listen and to show his care. And I think we have a lot of cares and special needs in our church and pain. And we want to be aware of that for each other. And you have a seed packet with your name on the front. Is your name. Then on the back is your this year's prayer partner. And you might have two names. If you have two, that's your third prayer partner. That is, might be an older sister in the church or a sister that is away from home. But if it doesn't work for you, let us know about it. But if it suits one of you, that's also okay. But the main thing that I want to bring out is that remember, bring them to the Lord. That is what's important. Reach and bless each other. And may God bless you real good with an enjoyable year.
About the pain that we have experienced this year and the losses, and especially it has been difficult, a lot of loss this year for our church. And I was just thinking of the verse from the song, "My God, I Thank Thee." I thank Thee more that all our joy is touched with pain, that shadows fall on brightest hours, that thorns remain, so that earth's joy may be our guide and not our chain. When our hearts are breaking, joy is very difficult, and it's only in His presence. And that is, the verse that we chose was Psalm 16:11. And it talks about finding joy in His presence. It's only in His presence that we can experience joy. But sometimes when we are in very painful circumstances, I think that our friends have to carry us to the Father. And I often like to think of that story in the New Testament where these four men carried their friend to Jesus. And I think of the energy that they expended. You know, they took the roof off and lowered him down. That took foresight and energy. And you know, I hope we can do that for each other. Carry each other to Jesus and to be aware when people are hurting that they might need to be carried. And so I guess that goes along with what Edith was saying about praying for each other. And our, as I said, our verse was Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And when we chose this verse, you know, we never thought of it that Anya would not be here with us. I think of it that those five ladies who passed on this year are enjoying his presence in a way that we cannot fathom. although there is a lot of grief and pain for those who are left behind. So we've asked five ladies from youth group age to those who are on Social Security, to talk about how does God show, direct their path, you know, as they go about their daily life, and also how do they find joy in his presence. And we had, when we planned this, we thought of getting Anya to be one of the singers, but instead we are going to have the trio sing the song that she wrote the music to in the Music 2 class, A Resurrection Crowns the Cross. And that we asked them to sing that in memory of Anya, Julia, Fanny Helmuth, Fanny Miller, and Marion. And so we'll have them sing, the trio will sing, and then we'll have several testimonies. The trio will sing again, and then several more testimonies, and then we'll have the closing.
Jane said, these sisters that are with us tonight are experiencing this joy in God's presence in a way that rest of us long for. The big question that came to me as I was trying to think what to say is, how do the rest of us go on? How do we find joy when our hearts are breaking? I don't have easy answers for that. Some of the things that I think that God is trying to teach me this year is it's just times of deep need to ask Him. Just come to Him and tell Him how I'm feeling and ask Him for help. And to ask Him what the path is that He wants me to walk. It's not always clear to me what the path is that God wants me to walk. And sometimes I fail to follow the path that He has showed me to walk. But one of the things that I'm learning, I'm not saying I have learned, I am learning to do, is to specifically ask God if I have need of wisdom, or I'm up against something I really just don't know what to do, is just is to consciously and specifically ask God, what is the path that you want me to walk on in this area? Or I need wisdom. Jesus, I don't know what to do. Please show me what you want me to do. What I should say, what I should do in any given situation. Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to say this? When shall I say it? How shall I say it? He answers those things. He really does answer those things. In times of hurt and misunderstanding, I can lift my heart to God, to Christ, and say, Jesus, it hurts. How do you want me to respond? How shall I respond? What shall I say? In times of personal failure, if I feel like I have failed, to take that to Jesus and say, it's my heart. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. In times of loss and grief, like we're going through now, it's just to lift that to Him. He does heal. In times of fear, for me, one of the big things since Anya's death has been fear. At the time, I have felt almost crippling fear. And that's something that I am learning to take to Him and say, here I am. Is this what I'm feeling? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And just surrender. Just surrender it to Him, to ask, to surrender, and to trust Him. He gives joy. He does bring joy. Often it's not the kind of joy that, it's not the happiness, maybe it's not the happiness kind of joy, but deep joy in our hearts. And then in times of good things, thank Him. And so gratitude, I think, is an important part as well.
Gives joy as a state of happiness, this. Many reasons to be happy. Paul writes to Philippians, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. First verse that came to my mind, Mary Jane called me, was from Luke 10:20. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's a good reason to rejoice. a senior citizen, I don't expect you to accomplish great deeds. But I'm not worn out yet. There's some challenges still as well that make me know that I'm not as I used to be. And by myself, I can entertain myself by doing a lot of reading. I especially enjoy true accounts of people's lives. But I haven't attained yet to the level that Fanny Miller did, and she wouldn't read anything but that. I also like to read the historical novels, like the ones that the Lorraine Schelling wrote about the hardships in North Dakota. I see various puzzles that I get by box. I enjoy jigsaw puzzles. In social life, I like to be entertaining. I enjoy getting phone calls, visits, letters. Getting invitations is a highlight in my life. I look at all of you this evening, I realize that I have a wealth here. You accept me, you're one of you. I appreciate that you imagine with me the delight I had this Sunday morning, Sunday when I got an envelope from my mailbox. I opened it and had a big amount of cash in it. I personally thank the victim again. I can imagine that somebody out here knows who put it in there. I have many, many changes in my life and yours. I do like her rejoicing in sorrow that I say with David in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Thank you, committee, for your work here. I appreciate it. Enjoy the evening.
Mary Jane asked me to share about finding joy in God's presence. And sometimes I think I know something about joy, but I'm not sure I ever quite, I shouldn't say I never did. I don't often think about it as a connection of in God's presence and fullness of joy, because often I think of, I tend to picture what Judy talked about of going to heaven and being in God's presence and that being joyful. Or maybe David going to the temple. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God was in the temple. And so you're in his presence there. And so somehow I've kind of tended to think about joy as being something that you get from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes down inside of you, and then joy kind of comes out of you, not as much that you're in God's presence, and that brings fullness of joy. But as I was thinking about talking, I think Mary Jane called me about 6 weeks ago, and so I kind of was thinking about it, and I was watching as I live life, when do I feel joy? And I know that joy is not necessarily just a feeling. But when I went and looked up the Hebrew for the word joy in Psalm 16, it is happy, joyful winsomeness and blithe, I think. It had blithe in there somewhere. And so it is a happiness as well. And so I kind of watched for when I experienced that in the past month. And so she asked for examples in my life, so I'm going to share a few. I like to close my eyes and concentrate on singing words to worship songs personally to God. Somehow that makes me much more aware of God's presence in the room. I know that He's everywhere, but I concentrate on singing the words personally to Him. It brings an awareness of His presence that also, I feel like that connection brings joy. There's something about worshiping God that brings joy. And singing to Him brings joy. And I also noticed that I think I often feel joy when I'm serving out of obedience, when I'm walking in obedience. I think that David knew what he was talking about when he said in the verse, he said, "Make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." When I know that I am doing what God wants me to do, I feel happiness and joyful. It's kind of the opposite of that guilty conscience that comes with disobedience. It's the happy conscience or something. And for years, if I pray alone over like breakfast or something, I have included this prayer that I read probably in a chicken soup for the soul or something like that. It's this prayer that says, "Bless this day and make me a blessing to someone today." And often when I pray it, my mind immediately jumps to someone I'm going to meet that day. I might know my schedule already or something like that. And it's like God just says, "That one, be a blessing to that person today." And if I remember that later in the day, when I am with that person, I often notice that I experience, in the moment of service or whatever is happening, I experience meaning and purpose and joy, even in a routine thing, because it's not just for that person, it's for God. So I just offer those as two examples from my own life of how I've experienced joy. I think gratefulness is a huge part of joy. You can take things for granted, or you can feel grateful for them. That brings joy. But really, I think connection with God, it's like Judy said, helps you face life when and to be able to handle life when it doesn't make sense otherwise. And it's the big picture. You know, I mean, life can look hard now, but heaven is a reality that's going to last way longer than this. And that brings joy too.
Father, refuge am I not? trust on this day. All my help from thee I bring. Over my defenseless head, with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Thou of life, the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, Christ, who all eternity.
It's so much scarier to talk to a whole room, just a few of you. This verse that the committee is talking about tonight has long been one that has ministered to my own heart. It's just, it's, am I not talking loudly enough? This verse was put to music, and a lot of us have learned the chorus, I suppose. I learned it when I was attending Pilgrim High in the 80s. But lately it just seemed like walking in this fullness of joy, I don't know, it just felt like it was a lost art. And you know, you can kind of plug along each day and cross things off the list, but there's no joy. And I told Dwight, this is crazy, I'm a hypocrite to talk about this tonight. He said, well, be honest. I said, okay, it's not fun. But I think the last week especially, it's been just really hard. Suddenly it hit me today. Well, Satan knew I had this assignment. You know, that there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. And I think sometimes we just don't know the extent of. And so, I think if we recognize it, and we recognize who our adversary is, and say, you know what? I am in Christ Jesus. He will fight this battle for me. I think we need to get to that point anyway. But I do have my ideals, and I keep trying to learn from the Lord. There are some specifics that the Lord's been teaching me. Number one is priorities. It's easy for me to overcommit myself, and then I end up feeling frustrated, and nothing goes right. And Dwight's been good to help me learn not to overcommit myself, to prioritize and say, what is truly important in 10 years from now? What is going to mean something to you at that point? Rather than just taking in anything that looks good or saying, yes, I can do that, and then later saying, ah, there's no way I can do this. Anyway, this fall we had more tomatoes, and right now more green beans, than we had a market for. So I put up a bunch for us, which is fine. Put some for the up for the potluck. Mom put up some for Casp, and they still kept coming. And you know, I have a confession to make. We just simply quit picking when we didn't have any market for them. And
it felt kind of wasteful, you know? You just don't do that. This is good stuff.
But you know, my husband agreed with me that if it's produce versus sanity, my sanity is more important than produce. And if you have a problem with that, come visit with me and I will gladly give you produce to put up for this, for CBS or for CASP or whatever. But it's what I've been learning. So number two, singing praise. Someone mentioned gratitude and praise earlier tonight. I think those have been some key lessons for me to learn. Listening to tapes or CDs that lift my spirits, they help me keep my focus on God. And I've noticed often the songs we sing together as a family in family devotions, you hear those songs being echoed the next couple of hours. They're running in people's minds. And so that's good. Another way is by reading good books. Books that they promote scriptural values. They feed your spirit, your soul, and make you form higher ideals. There's a series of books that has been on the back table here in the entrance for the last couple of months. The International Adventures series. There are stories of missionaries, and they have been an incredible source of inspiration for me. Pulled me out of my comfort zone a little bit, but it was okay. I needed that. Recently, I was reminded of a book I picked up from Lois Mass several years ago, For the Family. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, by Sylvia Gunter. It's a book of prayers. A lot of it is from Scripture directly, and that they relate to different areas of life, for families and individuals. I don't know how many of you ever read the book, child's book about Alexander. But lately I had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, and I was just on the verge of going to Australia. I shut myself in my bedroom out of desperation. And I opened this book and looked to see, okay, what prayer is going to fit this? And I found the prayer that says, when you don't know what to pray, pray God's sovereignty. And I thought, well, that fits. So I opened it up and I started praying this prayer out loud. And it was just amazing. The tensions melted away within me. My spirit, my heart was at rest. And I had some confessions to make. By that time, I felt like I was ready to make confessions. You know, there's a stage of rebellion when you don't even want to confess. And you know, I ended up taking a refreshing little nap because my heart was at rest. And it was amazing what God did through that little experience. So He had personally shown me his power again. And it was just a real challenge for me to spend more time praying scripture, praying out loud, praying not just for myself, but for other family members and for people who are hurting. This is just a really powerful little book. And it's available at Glenn's. And it's just, I've tried to be more intentional in the last years in responding to little nudges that God has given me to pray for somebody or to do something, make a phone call, do whatever. And, you know, the more I do that, I sense times when, wow, that was from God. That wasn't my idea at all. And it's exciting to know that I listened and it worked, and it was just him. I don't know, it's just so exhilarating to see God at work. And it just makes God so real, so personal to you. It's like God says, this is the way, walk in it. Lee Nisley said something on Sunday that I really appreciated, about eternal life beginning now. And if I expect to find joy in his presence throughout eternity, I think I want to begin now.
to talk about the second part of the verse first, because that was easier for me to think about. Look again. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so this was a very good question for me to think about. So how do I experience God's presence and find joy? I wish, like you others have been talking, I wish I would do these things consistently. But the one thing that has been a very helpful discipline to me, in my sabbatical year, I was part of a Bible study in which we were given verses, a verse a day, that was a praise verse, and then we were to write it back, just write a response. We did that for 6 weeks on a daily basis. Well, five verses a week. But I thought it. The idea was not foreign to me, but to just do it on a regular basis was a very good discipline for me. But it was also it helped me just by focusing right away in the morning on who God is. So I decided I wanted to keep this up, and have put those verses in a praise journal, as well as a verse for most of the other days of the year, not quite all. And so I'm going back, revisiting that journal and rewriting or writing a new response. I'm on my fourth year. I'm not sure if I'll keep it up after this, but it's just been. Then it's helpful for me to see what I've prayed in earlier years, and so that's one way of finding joy, just being reminded of who God is. The other thing that I thought about was, for years I had felt deeply that there is not a sacred versus secular. I just feel that all of life belongs to God, and we can't parcel it out, and nor did I want to on most days. But then when I came across Romans 12:1 in the Message, I said, "Oh, this is the word picture that I can get." Here's what it says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that helped me to say, okay, when I am shopping, which is not one of my favorite things most times, but it just happened to me again this week when I was in the aisle, and I think, oh, okay, this is a time when I can be worshiping you, God. And you know, that act then just brings him. I mean, he's there. You know what I mean. But it helps remind me that he's right here helping me with my shopping. And sometime this week also, I was saying, oh, this is a good, with my driving, I can worship you. And that's also not one of my favorite activities. But you know, it brings even joy in doing those things that I don't particularly enjoy doing. And then when it comes to things like eating, which I love, then it also puts eating in just a wonderful perspective, because I can worship God while I'm eating. And it has its side benefits. It helps me to be more self-controlled when I'm thinking about that. So those are a couple of ways that are current for me. And then when I was thinking about, oh, that's such an interesting thing to think about, how does God show me the path of life on a daily basis?
And I wasn't sure, but I do know that, again, using this idea from Romans 12, that if I feel a check in my spirit, then I know that I shouldn't go down that path. And sometimes I make the right choice and sometimes I don't. But I was thinking also that just having larger goals, while I'm not consciously thinking about, you know, the path that I'm going all the time, still knowing that what I am doing or who I am with or whatever is fitting under one of those larger goals that I feel God has given me, really does help me to know. And I guess in this way, saying, yes, this is the path of life.
For sharing. That was very inspiring for me, and I really enjoyed the practical examples that you gave. And I can identify with Karen about it feels like when our enemy knows that this is what we want to focus on, and that's what you almost can't do. And I just thank each of you for coming and sharing with us in this evening. Could we all stand and each long table hold hands, and we'll sing a song and have a closing prayer.